This is Paula Kaufman, returning with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, October 13, 2016. We will continue with the death notices. Decatur, H. Lucille Corley, 85, of Morton, formerly of Decatur, passed away Saturday, October 8, 2016. Services to celebrate Lucille's life will be 11 a.m. Saturday, October 15, 2016, at Moran and Gerbel Funeral Home. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service. Burial will take place in Myers Cemetery, Herrick, Illinois. Robert John Dietz, Sr., 67, of Decatur, passed away Tusday, October 11, 2016, at Decatur Memorial Hospital with his family at his side. Funeral services to celebrate the life of Robert John Dietz, Sr., will be 11 a.m. Saturday, October 15, 2016, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, October 14, 2016, at the funeral home. Entombment will be in the Star of Hope Mausoleum in Graceland Cemetery. Dorothy Marie Doty, D-O-T-Y, 100, of Cowden, passed away at 7 a.m. on Tuesday, October 11, 2016, at Lutheran Care Center Altamont, with her family at her side. Funeral service will be 10 a.m. Saturday, October 15, 2016, at the United Methodist Church of Herrick, with the Reverend David Hutton officiating. Visitation will be 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. Friday, October 14, 2016, at Lockhart Green Funeral Home in Cowden. Interment will be in Myers Cemetery. Roberta Ann Bobby Perrine, 66, passed away on Monday, October 10, 2016, in Decatur Memorial Hospital, Decatur, Illinois. A graveside service will be held on Friday, October 14, 2016, at 2:30 p.m. at Mound Cemetery, Oblong, Illinois. Visitation is Thursday, October 13, 2016, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Antioch Christian Church, 5409 East State Route 36, Decatur, Illinois. Zachary Thomas Rohde, R-O-H-D-E, of New Haven, Missouri, formerly of Decatur, Illinois, passed away suddenly on Sunday, October 9, 2016, at the age of 23. A celebration of life for Zach will be held on Saturday, October 15, 2016, at the Life Foursquare Church, 2954 West Ash Avenue, Decatur, Illinois. Carolyn Joyce Shields, 86, of Decatur, passed away Tuesday afternoon, October 4, 2016, at her home, surrounded by her family. Funeral services to celebrate the life of Joyce Shields will be 1 p.m. Monday, October 17, 2016, at the Star of Hope Mausoleum in Graceland Cemetery. Visitation will be from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday, October 16, 2016, at Moran and Gerbel Funeral Home. Dorothy Mildred Washburn, 80, of Decatur, passed away Monday, October 10, 2016, at her home, with her family by her side. Funeral services to celebrate the life of Dorothy Washburn will be 11 a.m. Friday, October 14, 2016, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Friday, before the service at the funeral home. Burial will be in Macon County Memorial Park in Harristown. Karen Sue Chloe Woodland, 51, of Westminster, Colorado, formerly of Pena, Illinois, passed away unexpectedly on the morning of Saturday, October 8, 2016. Funeral services will be held at 7 p.m. on Friday, October 14, 2016, in Howe and Yockey Funeral Home, Shelbyville, Illinois, with Dr. Steve Nance officiating. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday. Family graveside services will be held later in Mound Cemetery, Pena, Illinois. Our views. People leaving Illinois is no big surprise. Unless you're moving because of a job, the reasons for moving to a new state often are the same as picking a vacation spot. You want somewhere sunny with a beach, or snowy with slopes, with good recreation choices, good food and lodging, maybe an opportunity to learn something new, easy and cheap transportation, and a good value for your hard-earned money. But a new poll suggests people leaving Illinois, and they are considering doing so in part because of high taxes. A poll from the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University found that 47% of registered voters in Illinois say they want to move out, with 27% of them citing taxes as their top reason. However, just 20% say it's likely they'll move in the coming year, according to a story by Diane Petrella in the Herald and Review Springfield Bureau. The poll results show people also want to leave because of the weather, government, jobs, and education. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 67,535 more people moved out of the state from 2014 to 2015 than moved in. My theory about taxes is people do not mind paying taxes if they feel they're getting value for them, David Yepsen, director of the Institute, told Petrella. It's when they don't feel they're getting value that they get upset. And here in Illinois, you've just had too many examples of corruption, misspending, and people just are unhappy. That's also reflected by the 84% of voters who say the state is headed in the wrong direction, Yepsen added. We're not sure we needed a poll for that question, but it's clear that something's wrong with Illinois when more people want to move out for reasons other than jobs and sunshine. State leaders do not agree on how to right the ship, but taxes will play a part. If the state is able to entice more businesses and people to stay in, or move to, Illinois, the state will get more revenue from property and sales taxes. But part of the way of enticing people to stay or move here is to have reasonable tax rates. Part of that decision will come from the state, but local property taxes are set by local governing bodies, with school districts taking the lion's share. As we said in June 2015, the net loss of 1,359,355 people in Illinois between 1995 and 2014 resulted in an income loss to other states of $45.6 billion. The loss in state and local tax revenues to other states was $7.6 billion. The people of Illinois know there's a problem with our state government and how it's run. Hopefully, polls like those from the Simon Institute will provide the impetus for our state legislators to sit down and work out a reasonable solution that includes a hard look at property taxes, workers' compensation laws, and right-to-work zone. Resolve pays for Decatur native. Millikan grad traces lengthy road to entrepreneurship by Chris Lusvardi, H&R staff writer. Norman Oberto's journey to becoming a successful business owner is a lesson in determination. Oberto, a Decatur native and 1974 Millikan University graduate, shared his experience in becoming chairman and owner of Imperial Plastics Tuesday evening as part of the Milliken Institute for Science Entrepreneurship speaker series. Although Oberto was interested at a young age in owning a business, the path to entrepreneurship did not come quickly. "It took me a long time to get inspiration," said Oberto, 64. "I was talking to people, hoping something would rub off. I wanted to be a business owner, but I didn't know how to do it." After starting his career working at places including Firestone and as vice president of sales and marketing for Wagner Castings Company, Oberto found an opportunity in 1997 with the Imperial Plastics business in Lakeville, Minnesota. He was interested in talking about buying the company, but the owner didn't take his call the first three times. After another attempt, in which Oberto persistently asked the receptionist for help, he talked with the owner for 2 hours, and the connection was established. "I fell in love with the company," Oberto said. Oberto needed $10 million in financing to buy the company and convinced a lender to provide the money. That enabled him to get started, and since then has expanded the business into the largest plastic injection molder in Minnesota and one of the largest in the country, employing over 800 people in 6 locations, along with an office in China. In the past 20 years, the company has grown with $115 million in sales as it specializes in making a variety of small to large plastic components. Part of Oberto's growth strategy has been to acquire smaller companies, merging them into the larger entity that can provide improved capabilities and services. Imperial has purchased 5 companies under Oberto's leadership. "It's not always a quick path to become an entrepreneur," Oberto said. "You have to make sacrifices, and for me, that was relocating." Oberto hoped the Milliken students attending the presentation, who are interested in starting a science-related business path, could find inspiration and perhaps a spark from his story. Part of the goal for the Institute, which was founded in 2012, is to contribute to job growth and societal well-being, said David Horn, a biology professor who is one of its co-founders. Horn said students can become well-prepared to transition from a science student to a science career. He said many will become self-employed, meaning they will need to be ready to take charge of their careers. A Civic Center return. Favorite musical marks Theater 7's return to downtown. By Donette Beckett, H&R staff writer. Decatur. After 5 years away, Theater 7 will be returning to the Decatur Civic Center. The season opener is The Great American Trailer Park Musical. The cast will perform 6 shows from October 14th through 23rd. Trailer Park is described as a funny soap opera set in a mobile home park in Stark, Florida. The show has a raunchy yet colorful cast of characters, complete with the matriarch and owner Betty and her neighbors, an agoraphobic wife with a two-timing husband, a woman who encourages others to use up all the electricity to prevent her death row husband from being electrocuted, a marker-sniffing drug addict who is in love with an exotic dancer, and a teenager with psychological pregnancies. "She always thinks she is pregnant," said director Kathy Ziantara. Tamara Bivens performed the show with the Springfield Company in 2007. For Theater 7, she will play the part of Jeannie, the agoraphobic housewife afraid to leave her home. She auditioned because she believes it is a fun show to perform in as well as to watch. The betrayal, happiness, fears, all the struggles we go through in daily life, she said. It's way out there, but it's still things everyday people go through. Although the show is filled with dramatic stories, It is full of humor and music. It is really heavy on the musical part, Xiantara said. There's more music here than there are lines. The cast performs various styles, including rock, pop, gospel, and big band. But they are goofy songs, like Flush Down the Pipes and Roadkill, Bivens said. They are fun and catchy, too. Theater 7 performed the show 10 years ago to sell out crowds. They have not only returned to the original venue with a proven popular show, directors also brought back a Decatur favorite. Molly Shade will reprise her role of Betty, the trailer park owner. Shade has been a regular with Theater 7 since 1986. She has also performed on various local stages, including with the Decatur Municipal Band. She was also one of the first Decatur Park singers. Xiantara contacted Shade to return to the show as the main character. Betty is very sassy and doesn't take any prisoners, Shade said. Maybe it was typecasting. Xiantara is happy the theater company will return to the venue they called home for 30 years. This is a true theater, she said. It's better for the theater-goers, too. According to music director Sarah Boleen, the acoustics for the venue are ideal for a musical. Another new element she is happy to utilize is the music pit. In the past, the cast has had the band behind curtains, or part of the performances, she said. Now we will be able to see the band for cues. It will be very helpful. Husband's partisan politics dominate social visits. Dear Abby, my husband is very political, and around election time, he becomes engrossed in news shows. He has a habit of showing his favorite political news clips to friends when they visit. I am uncomfortable with this, as I feel our friends are too polite to decline, and they allow my husband to preach politics to them out of courtesy to the host. They are like-minded politically speaking, and the few who aren't are not going to be swayed by comedy news shows. I excuse myself from the room when he begins his sermons. I have asked him to stop doing this when friends visit, but he refuses. How can I persuade him to just have friends' time with no politics? Politically unmotivated. Dear politically unmotivated, you can't. You aren't going to change your husband. Fortunately, most of your friends are politically like-minded. Those who find his entertainment to be offensive will postpone seeing you until after the election is over. So stop stressing. Stay alcohol-free. Dear Abby, is it okay for a person who went to AA a few years ago and has gone totally alcohol-free to start having a beer every other night, or even keep a bottle of vodka around to have every now and then? Or should you stay alcohol-free to be sure that this issue doesn't happen again? Alcohol-free. Dear alcohol-free, for some individuals, it may be possible to have an occasional drink without falling completely off the wagon, but I wouldn't recommend it. And as to keeping a bottle of vodka around to nip into every now and then, I think that makes as much sense as keeping a box of chocolates in the house if someone is addicted to sweets, and many of us are. Gift-giving dilemma. Dear Abby, my sister-in-law wants to choose the gifts we give them. She doesn't have enough manners to smile, accept a gift, and say thank you, as we were raised to do. She told us, "All those educational toys you gave my son, I donated them." I have donated much of what she has given us, but I would never tell her that. Now, she's ordering toys and having them delivered to our home for us to wrap and give to her son. I had already bought a kaleidoscope, books, race track, and a huge jar of little cars to use as rewards since he's 4 and still not potty trained. She sent us a thank you note, the first one ever, for the gifts they sent us to give my nephew, but did not mention the 8 items I bought. Please help me cope with this extremely rude sister-in-law. Trying to cope in Texas. Dear Trying, I'll try. As I see it, you have 2 choices. The first is to decide to go along with the program. The second would be to tell her she has taken all the joy out of gift-giving, and in the future, you will not be participating in the charade. Points of interest. New old faces make up Illinois' Point Guard Committee. By Mark Tupper, H&R Executive Sports Editor, Champaign. On the day John Gross was hired as Illinois' 17th men's head basketball coach in March of 2012, he described an offense that would run through a multi-talented point guard who could shoot, drive, distribute, and lead. He used action words to sketch an exciting blueprint. In reality, he was describing the point guard he'd just left behind at Ohio University, DJ Cooper, who had led Gross's team to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. But for the past 3 seasons, Gross has not had a point guard like Cooper. He hasn't had a point guard who can shoot, who's a threat to the rim, or whose ability to distribute made those around him better. Gross has recruited some of the best point guards in the country, and until recently missed on all of them. Instead, he's had to go with a collection of imposters, and Illinois has suffered because of it. That figures to change this season. The point guard position should be manned by 3 players, 2 of which are skilled enough to make defenses play them honest. One is Tracy Abrams, a 6th-year senior who has sat out the last 2 seasons due to consecutive serious injuries. After missing all of 2014-15 with a torn ACL, Abrams missed all of 2015-16 with a damaged Achilles tendon. It has been 31 months since Abrams played in an Illini basketball game, and Gross said Abrams, who will turn 25 during this season, looks ready to hit the ground running. The other new-look point guard is a true freshman, Tajon Lucas from Milwaukee, a bright, willing kid whose commitment helped Gross break the point guard recruiting logjam. Lucas broke his ankle back in February when his Milwaukee-Washington High School was playing a road game in Champaign, of all places. Lucas was out on a breakaway when it appeared he was pushed flagrantly, causing a crash that resulted in the fracture. John Gross was sitting in the stands watching and couldn't believe what happened. The injury ended Lucas's senior season, and just recently was he cleared to participate in practice without limitations. "I feel good. I'm 100%, Lucas said at the recent Illini Media Day. "I know with a lot of major injuries, you go through that phase where you wonder if your body is ready to do things yet. But I'm past that. I feel good." Between Abrams and Lucas, as well as the return of senior Jalen Tate, Gross has more options at point guard than he's had in the past. Now he needs to use them differently, which, he said, he will. "It's a critical position for us," Gross, who has also used Malcolm Hill at the position. Now he'd prefer keep Hill at a wing. "I don't know if we fill that point guard position by committee or what," Gross said. "Those guys are going to have to earn that playing time. I do like the fact that we have some options and healthy guys there now. I don't have a set number of points I think should come from the position, but in a perfect world, you'd want your point guard to be defended, to be a threat to score, and to be able to shoot the basketball. Last season, Illinois was forced to occasionally use Hill at the point because Khalid Lewis averaged all of 3.9 points while Tate averaged 1.8. Simply put, the teams had such little respect for Lewis or Tate as scorers that they cheated their defenses toward a legitimate points producer like Hill. The return of Abrams should be the key, because before he was hurt the first time, he was a reliable scorer, even if he was only a 37% field goal shooter and a 27% three-point shooter. Whereas Tate has scored in double figures three times in 95 career games, Abrams scored in double figures 42 times in a two-season span of 71 games. Tate's career high is 11 points against Minnesota. Abrams has scored 27 points against Auburn, 25 against Indiana, 22 at Hawaii, 22 against Missouri, and 22 against Purdue. Figure that Lucas will have a typical amount of freshman growing pains and that Tate has not likely developed a reliable shooting touch. Teammates say Abrams has become a better shooter, and whether or not that's true, he was always a bulldog on defense, and he has developed into a vocal leader that no other recent point guard has been. His mind is in a good place right now, Gross said. All of his strength numbers, speed numbers, vertical jump numbers are higher than before injury occurred. He has put in a lot of time. Each day, you see him get more and more confident. Every time he dives in a loose ball, every time there's a collision, he falls down, gets up, and you see him become more himself. One last ride. Meridian's Gets Aucamp Not Holding Back. By Bill Welt, H&R staff writer, Macon. Meridian's Chelsea Gets and Amy Aucamp first teamed up for basketball in third grade. Since then, we haven't stopped, Aucamp said. It's turned into a formidable duo that's lasted all the way through their senior year in both volleyball and softball. Sure, they may bring more star power to the diamond. Both Getz and Aucamp earned H&R Macon County first team in softball last season. Getz posted a stellar 5.53 batting average with 7 home runs and 56 RBIs, while Aucamp also had an exceptional season with a 4.55 average with 23 RBIs. That's not all. Getz is committed to the Division I Tennessee State softball program and has devoted each summer preparing for that next step. But Getz and Aucamp still love volleyball. The senior captains are currently guiding the Hawks to another winning season under second-year coach Tony Holly, Meridian's 14-10 overall and 3-2 in the challenging Central Illinois Conference after mustering a thrilling 27-25 and 28-26 victory at Central A&M last week. They're showing a lot of leadership, Holly said of Getz and Aucamp. When you return two team captains and seniors, that's what you want from them. Both bring different dimensions to the game, maybe like what they do on the diamond. Getz delivers power at the net, while Aucamp provides versatility all over the floor. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, October 13th, 2016. I look forward to reading with you again.